Our church, ERBF, acknowledge the land that we are living in. So I would like to read for us the land acknowledgement that is on our website. Pardon my pronunciation, so I'm just learning some new words today. We acknowledge that Eagle Ridge Bible Fellowship meets and worships on the ancestral, traditional, and unceded territory of the Kuku'kitlem, which lies within the shared territory of the Tsleil-Waututh, Katsi, Musqueam, K'itite, Squamish, Stolo. These people continue to live on the lands and care for them, along with the waters and all that is above and below.
Thank you.
We would like to pray before we start. So our sister is going to share the word of God, so we hope that God bless us as she's speaking. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and kindness. This is your land, Lord, and we are thankful that you, whether those who were born here from the beginning, that they lived here, whether those who came and they were born here, whether people like us who came here and live here. We pray that may your name be glorified in our lives. May we honor you for who you are, and may we understand who we are worshiping. We pray, Father, that you speak to our sister. Help us to hear your word, and may the Holy Spirit help us to put the things that we hear into practice. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning. It's a privilege to be joining you today. I appreciate being invited back to Eagle Ridge Bible Fellowship to speak this morning. I also want to take a moment to share greetings and gratitude from the MCC British Columbia office. We're grateful for your church's support and prayers as we continue to do God's work. I shared with you about 3 years ago a sermon called Loving Your Neighbors as Yourself. This morning, I want to share with you about being on the pathway of reconciliation with Indigenous people. Galatians 3:28 says, "There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus." This verse is quite clear about the point Paul is making. In Christ, we are all the same. We are equal with one another. If we have a heart that surrenders our own will and ways to God, we will see that he's calling us to no longer see one another through our human eyes and through our human experience and our human thinking, but to begin to take on the thinking of God and Creator and how he views all people, even those that are different from ourselves. I always like to think that if God wanted us all to be the same and think the same and act the same and look the same, he would have created us that way. But in his joy and his wisdom, he's created us all differently. And so there's joy in joining God and seeing how he views people and creation. I'm beginning with this because historically, as we take a look at the foundation of this nation, the nation of Canada, the foundation is the doctrine of discovery. And the doctrine of discovery clearly says that if you aren't a Christian in the way that we describe who a Christian is, then you are less than human. It goes on to say that if we come to a place, and they were talking about coming to Canada even before it was a nation, so that when they came here, they saw that the people that were here, the Indigenous people, the original inhabitants of the land, did not worship God in a way that they were used to or a way that they considered to be normal. So they made an assumption and they made a judgment that they weren't worshiping God. Therefore, they were seen as less than human. And therefore, less than human can't make decisions on their own. They can't own land, and they just dismissed them. They were of no value. And so we know that's the foundation of the nation of Canada. because Canada has not rescinded the doctrine of discovery. It is still part of who we are as Canada. So as followers of Jesus, when we read the scripture, we know that it's not God's definition of who Indigenous people are. Indigenous people are loved by God, created by God, and He has a purpose and a plan for Indigenous people, just like He has for you and I. And so we need to examine our own hearts and minds about how do we view Indigenous people? And if we settle in our own hearts and minds that, well, that was way back then and we don't need to think about that now, I want to consider the truth that Indian residential schools came about because there was a thought that Indigenous people needed to be assimilated into the dominant society in order for them to be considered valuable members of society. Okay, so I know we're talking about 150 years ago when residential schools were started, but what about today? When I take a look at right now, today, the thousands of Indigenous women and girls and boys who go missing every year, there's still that prevalent thought that Indigenous people are of no value, that they're worthless and that we can do whatever we want with them, and nobody cares and nobody wants to know about it. That's the place that I come from when I read the Word of God, when the Word of God says that God's people needs to begin to see all of God's creation through His eyes. And so beginning to consider how it is that we view Indigenous people is really important. Some of you may view or know people who view Indigenous people as, oh yeah, they're there, but you have no relationship and you maybe don't desire to have a relationship or don't go out of your way to make a relationship. They're there and that's okay, but I'm here and that's okay and we should all go on our merry way. That's one group of people. Another group of people have had poor experiences with Indigenous people for whatever reason. And so now they paint Indigenous people with this broad brush stroke saying, all Indigenous people are like this. So for some, all Indigenous people are like this and maybe it's been a good experience. For others, all Indigenous people are like this and it's been a bad experience. So that's the first point we need to think of when we're talking about a pathway to reconciliation. It starts with us, right? And so we need to wrestle with what we really think about Indigenous people. Why did you come to church today? To hear about reconciliation with Indigenous people? Was it to affirm what you already know about Indigenous people? Was it to learn some new facts about Indigenous people? Or was it to allow the Holy Spirit to actually begin to make changes in your thinking, in your thought process, and in your relationship with God and what He says about people who are different from yourself? I also want to talk about the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People. Why is that such an important piece of reconciliation for listening to Indigenous voices? I want to read just a clip from the Truth and Reconciliation Commission that declares that the United Nations Declaration Rights of Indigenous People is the framework for reconciliation. This comes from Chief Justice Sinclair and his team that did the writing of the 94 Calls to Action. So it's part of the introduction to the Calls to Action, and he says, together, Canadians must do more than just talk about reconciliation, but we must learn how to practice reconciliation in our everyday lives, within ourselves, within our families, in our communities, in our governments, in our places of worship, in our schools, and in our workplaces. To do so constructively, Canadians must remain committed to the ongoing work of establishing and maintaining respectful relationships. And so it's a well-written piece about why it is that we're even talking about reconciliation. Why is it that there's a whole day set aside to honor and respect the resiliency of Indigenous survivors, their family, and their communities? Why is there a day set aside that we can consider where we're at? And it's because there's a call for reconciliation. But even before Prime Minister Harper made the apology back in 2008, saying that as Canadians, we need to find a new way to work together in a good way,
even before Chief Justice Sinclair in 2015 wrote that reconciliation is the responsibility of all Canadians. God wrote that it is God's heart that we have a call to walk in reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5, 18-19 says, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us a message of reconciliation. We have a call to walk in respectful relationships with everyone, not just those that we get along with, or not just those that we agree with, or those that we know and understand, but even with a stranger, the one that is not a friend yet. And that call is specifically a call from God. And so in the message from Chief Justice Sinclair about, we have to do more than talk about it. I know many times when I speak, everybody wants to know, how do I do this? What are some suggestions you can give me? I like to share about the why first, because when it gets difficult or when you kind of lack motivation to do what you think you should do, when you come back to the why of what you're doing, that gives you the momentum to keep walking this journey. Because it's not a one-time event. It's not, oh, I went to a walk for reconciliation. Now I'm done. I don't need to do anything else. Reconciliation is a journey, and it's going to be a lifelong journey. We didn't get into this mess over one day or 10 days or one school year. It is hundreds of years of not walking together in a good way. And so today in 2024, we have an opportunity to make a difference. To make a difference not only in our lives, but in the lives of our family, of our community, our realms of influence, and in your relationships with Indigenous individuals, families, and communities. A couple of suggestions I want to leave with you today is doing what you've done by inviting me to speak, or others to speak, or by doing the Kairos blanket exercise in the past, and offering it again today. You made yourself available to learn more. It's a scary thing to say, yes, I want to do this, but I don't know enough, or I don't know nothing. A lot of people will say to me, where do I even begin to understand, to begin to have some knowledge? And so having an opportunity, like doing the blanket exercise today, is providing the time to gain knowledge. And this is an important part of reconciliation. If you didn't register to stay and do the blanket exercise, I encourage you to stay. Even if you did it before, many trained facilitators lead this exercise in a different way, and there are several versions of the script. Even if you didn't bring a blanket, I brought lots of extra blankets. Even if you didn't pack a lunch, you might have 15, 20 minutes to run out and grab a fast food lunch. Even if you hear the exact same thing that you heard last time, you will find some piece of information that you didn't remember or that will stick with you in a different way. Trust me, I've been facilitating Kairos blanket exercises for a number of years. I think this is my 95th one or something. I remember Justice Sinclair's little quip that he said at one point, and he said, referring to Indian residential schools, that it's education that got us into this mess, and it's education that is a way to help us get out of the mess. And so that's being done in different ways in the public school system and in universities, and there are many opportunities to learn online. So knowledge is important, but what's even more important is where are you getting your knowledge from? And that's one of the things that someone tells that I think of when somebody tells me that they heard this or that they know this about Indigenous people. And it doesn't quite make sense, and you know, it kind of sends up red flags. I always ask them, where did you learn that? Or who was your teacher? Because it's important that the voices we're listening to, the things that we're reading, are authentic Indigenous voices. And so that's one of the ways that you know you're getting good information and you're getting truthful information, and that it's not being embellished or coming from a different worldview than an Indigenous person would tell you. The resources I provide through the Indigenous Neighbors Program comes highly recommended by my friends and Indigenous people because they know I've done my due diligence to ensure that the resources are authentic Indigenous voices, that they are respected in Indigenous community, and that they're not just coming out of left field and have their own agenda. They have honor and dignity and integrity to tell truth in a way that is knowledgeable and not just pointing a finger or causing people to feel shame or guilt. A good scholar and also good Indigenous knowledge keepers invite people into the process, and they make it a place where we can learn together, to hear Indigenous voices, and to sometimes be uncomfortable together, but it's still a good experience. And so that's one caution that I want to give you on the journey of learning, is to really examine who you're learning from, because it's really important. But also to keep on the journey. I've been on this journey for almost 10 years, and I want to also caution you that if you have a poor experience, just know that it was just a poor experience. Don't let it mean that you never go to anything Indigenous anymore because you had a poor experience. Not every experience you have is going to be great and wonderful or feel warm and fuzzy. Sometimes you're going to be in the place that's uncomfortable, but if you stay and you press in and you listen to God with one ear and you listen to what's being said with the other ear, then the Holy Spirit can help you have a greater understanding, a deeper understanding, or may quicken you to say, well, what about this part of it? And continue the conversation rather than just feeling uncomfortable and getting up and leaving and never coming back. And so these are really practical things that I want to share with you today. Another question that I often get is, well, I don't know any Indigenous people. And so you talk about how relationship is important and everything I read is about respectful relationships, but I don't have relationships with Indigenous people. So my response is that you're living in the Coast Salish territory. There are so many communities within this territory. And one of those communities is close to wherever you are living. And so just be knowledgeable about where you're living. Maybe as a church family, you can begin to do that work together. Who are the Indigenous people near Eagle Ridge Bible Fellowship? And we just heard Joseph list them off. Where you gather every Sunday or where you gather midweek to fellowship and to learn and to grow and love each other. And begin to have your ear open to what's happening in those communities. Sometimes there's great things happening and you can celebrate and rejoice about those things. Sometimes there's sorrow and tragedy or something you need to pray through. And perhaps maybe God will prompt two or three of you to go and knock on the door of a grieving family and just offer them a casserole or cookies or acknowledge that you're praying for them. You need to be able to step out and make that gesture of relationship and friendship. And don't expect that right away they're going to come and say, oh, thank you for coming to see me. That was so great. Don't look for a pat on back. You're doing it for the glory of God. And you're doing it to open the door, even if it's just a crack, to begin those relationships. So just be aware of what's happening in Indigenous communities around you. For instance, I don't know how many of you are on Facebook, but in September, there was a 6-year-old girl in northern BC in the Burns Lake area that went missing. She was playing in her backyard of her home. It was just before supper time, and Mom went to call her. Time to come in for supper, but she was missing. She was gone out of her own yard. Her family and community began searching. She was a little girl on the autism spectrum. How could they have been uplifted, even though you don't know that family, to intercede and pray for the safe return of that child, for peace and comfort as they walk through the journey of waiting and searching? 3 days later, they actually found the little girl, and the little girl had spent days outside, and it's cold in northern BC this time of year. She didn't have a jacket, and she didn't even have shoes on. And yet she survived 3 days and 3 nights in northern BC. And so they took her to the hospital just to check her out. And she's fine, other than the trauma of being out there by herself in the woods. People who have a desire to walk in a good way with Indigenous people can pray for families that go through these types of tragedies. And please don't make judgments like, well, why weren't her parents looking after her better? Those kinds of things. Lay your judgment down and intercede for the child and for her family. That's what I'm asking you to do today. One simple thing like that can make you aware, even though you may not know the specifics or the family, God knows, and you know God, and you know how to pray. Sad to say that almost every day there's reports of missing Indigenous people. That's one of the ways that you can support Indigenous families, only known to you and God, or known to your prayer team. Many churches have prayer teams, and we need to be praying for families and missing children. You may not know any details, but God knows it all. And just pray, because you're honoring God. God does what he does best and works in those situations. So that's another very practical way that we can walk with one another. Another way is when you hear of injustices. Injustice in our healthcare system, injustice in our justice system, injustice in our education system. Wherever it is, your realm of knowledge, have your ears open to where is the injustice and begin to be the voice of justice, because God is a God of justice. So there's lots of injustices still that take place, and that's part of the reconciliation work we need to do. Policies and practices are still in place that need to be dismantled so you can be a voice of change in those justice issues that need to happen. These are things you can do locally, things you can do regionally, and things you can do nationally. There's an abundance of things that we can work to do to raise awareness about injustices, to take a look at ways that we can work at reconciliation wherever we are at. For church people, there's one final point I want to address, and this will be my last point. For churches and followers of Jesus, you see, many church folks expect people to follow Jesus in a specific way. And we sometimes have our little box that says that you worship God this way, that you pray this way, that you dress this way when you go to church. These are all unwritten, or maybe sometimes even written, rules of what it looks like to be a Christian or follower of Jesus. Just open yourself up to the thought that this is your worldview of what it's like to go to church, worship God, be a Christian, and follow Jesus. But it's not the only worldview. I'm not talking about the parts of the word that is very specific, like each one of us needs to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, or that Jesus, his finished work on the cross, makes a way for us. I'm not talking about those kind of theological pieces. I'm talking about the pieces that say we need to follow Jesus this way to be accepted in a church and be recognized as a Christian. So be ready to broaden your box a little bit, maybe even throw it away, and worship God in a way that God is honored, that may look different from how you're used to. So rather than judging it, embrace it as another beautiful way of diversity that God gives us in the body of Christ.
Thank you, worship team, for leading us into worshiping God. Thank you, Bridget, to remind us one more time how God loves people, and Indigenous people, specifically here in Canada. I'm from Iran. I cannot talk really on behalf of Indigenous people and what they went through. I was just looking at my little daughter right now, and I was thinking, if someone comes and take her from me and put a new name for her, and I don't know how I was going to feel. Though I'm coming from a land that for 1,000 years is occupied by other people, I still cannot imagine what the First Nation people went through. I always call myself a refugee. I'm in a foreign land, and I'm living in exile for the last 20 years. I never had a chance to go back to my country and see my loved one. Over 30 people died in my homeland, my relatives, and I never had a chance to go and visit them. I have learned something from my grandfather. He said, always learn. until you will finish with this world. But that means that you need to live humble life. It's easy to talk about our success, but it's very difficult to humble ourselves and say, these are my weaknesses and my mistakes, and I would like to grow. I really appreciate your words. Reconciliation is not something that happens once. It is a process. It means learning from the past, building relationships, and working together to heal. Each day, we need to share love, respect, and understanding as we grow together. Thank you. And as you mentioned, the Holy Spirit, we really need the Holy Spirit to help us. We are human beings. We messed up with God, and we need Him. I need Him. And thank you for reminding us to pray. And the people around us, our neighbors, many of them are indigenous people, probably. May God open the eyes of our heart to see them. We have a prayer team, and today Betty and Shirley are going to pray, so you can join them if you have a prayer request. They will sit here. And after the service, we are going to hear the story again one more time, Kairos Blanket exercise. Thank you.